First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and then Matthew chapter 16. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Okay, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Okay, chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Okay, now into Matthew 16. And we'll go back to 1 Peter right after we pray. But Matthew 16. Okay, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Help each and every one of us to recognize that each of us should know you personally, should walk with you, should respect you, love you, honor you, admire you, cherish you. I pray you'd help us to see that you are precious. Help us to honor your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Peter, back in that one. Okay, now the idea this morning is to get to know Jesus Christ personally. That's a unique trait of biblical Christianity that no other faith has. No Mohammedan can get to know Muhammad personally. Okay, there's no Confucius can get to know Confucius himself personally. There is no Buddhist can take some time and try to get in fellowship with Buddha personally. There's no Mormon can get to know Joe Smith or Brigham Young personally. Okay, none of these guys, there's no Jehovah Witness, can get to know Judge Rutherford, Pastor Russell, personally themselves. No religious faith has the unique trait that we have in that you and I not only should care what Jesus Christ says, but we should get to know him personally. If you ask the average person in the street, what do you think of Jesus Christ? You can get a wide range of opinions. Okay, I just asked a fellow that recently, what do you think of Jesus Christ? Well, I think he's a pretty good guy. John Denver said years ago when he was, you know, above ground, now he's pushing daisies, you know. He said that if Jesus Christ showed up, that he'd invite him to sit down and have a beer with him. Okay, that's what he said. If you ask the average person, what do you think of Jesus Christ? You'd get a good teacher. I think he's a good man. You'd get some say he was a communist. Now, when they say he's a communist, they're saying that as a point of a compliment. You know, he was a communist or a fascist because, you know, he believed in redistribution of wealth, you know, and everybody should have each according to his own, each according to his need. They would say he was a communist. Some would say he's a pacifist. Some would say he's a peaceful person, a peacemaker. Okay, some would say he's God my Savior. I mean, you get a wide gamut of opinion about Jesus Christ, the most misunderstood man in history, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, we've got four gospel accounts to tell us what he was like. Okay, now in 1 Peter, basically if you run the chronology starting at verse 23, the idea is, okay, you're born again. Now that you're born again, you realize that verse 23, the word of God abideth forever. So that should be first and foremost book in your life. In chapter 2, verse 1, the word wherefore, okay, since you've been born again, meaning you've been forgiven by God, you've been pardoned, you've been redeemed. Since that has happened to you, wherefore, now we should lay aside all malice, guile, trickery, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. We should be forgiven to others because you've been forgiven by God. And in that relationship, as a newborn baby, you now should desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? Because it helps us grow. It helps us to find out that Jesus Christ is gracious. Verse 3, if so be, if tasted, the Lord is gracious. Verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the living stone. He is the chosen of God. And he is precious. Okay, verse 4, you personally are now, you have cut out the middleman per se. There's no religion you have to go to. There's no priest you have to go to get information from. There's no church that you have to go to get the Bible interpreted for you. You now are a priest of God. You can pray to him directly. You can confess to him directly. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Okay, where now in the New Testament, it's a personal relationship. It's not a religious structure like in the Old Testament. So, if you have Jesus Christ in your body, the Spirit of God's in your body, you've got what it needs to fellowship with God. You have what it takes, as they say. Okay, now verse 6 and 7 gets into Jesus Christ again and says Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And the only building structure that he's the cornerstone or the capstone or the top stone, that's a pyramid. And so you see in the back of your dollar bill that the counterfeit, the pyramid with the eye up top. Well, that's Jesus Christ, technically. Doctrinally, according to the Bible, he's going to come down and crush who's ever confounded by him. So that's verse 6 and 7. And verse 8, this Jesus Christ, he is a stone of stumbling. He is the rock of offense. He is the one that offends people. Okay, now today in our society, you could pray to God publicly. Obama can talk about God and talk about Allah. He can quote the Quran. He can generally mention the Sermon on the Mount, and the media is not going to be upset. You can mention God in public. You could mention God here and there. You could mention Allah. The schools in California, they will instruct the kids that you can dress up like a Muslim and pretend to have Ramadan and honor them, and nobody's going to gripe about it per se, except maybe some religious fanatic. But the ACLU is not going to sue them over it. The public schools in Washington, the state of Washington, can take taxpayers' money and get all the buses out and bus, you know, thousands of kids to hear the Dalai Lama come from over there. Nobody's going to sue them over it. Okay? But you can go to the United Nations and pray to God and pray to Allah and pray to Mother Gia and pray to whoever you want. But as soon as the name Jesus Christ shows up, that's where they get upset. Jesus Christ is a stone of stumbling. He is the rock of offense. He is the one that offends them. It bothers them when Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can go to AA meeting and develop a God to help you quit drinking, and whether the God's a dog, a cat, a door, a house, you know, some supreme being, can be God, can be Allah, can be Nike, it can be, you know, Molech, it can be Chemosh, it doesn't matter. But as soon as you mention Jesus Christ, they get bothered. As soon as you tell them that Jesus Christ is the one that saved my soul, He's the stone of stumbling. He's the rock of offense. He's the one that makes them mad these days. Jesus Christ. That's verse 8. Verse 9, running chronologically. Ye, the ones born again, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. What does a peculiar people do? That ye should show forth the praises of Him, Jesus Christ, who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, if you go out and if you're an outgoing person and you like to talk to people, okay, you can get talking to people and you can talk to them about sports, no problem. You can get talking to them about the weather and they'll be all friendly. And I've seen them where they have a nice little plaque on their doorstep. You know, everyone's welcome at this house. All our guests are welcome. And you can talk to them, and they'll be real happy and, you know, cordial to you. But as soon as you mention Jesus Christ, that welcome seems to kind of go away. You can talk even about politics to some folks. You can talk about anything and every little subject you can think of, and most people will think that you're a fine chap, you know, or in Australia, a fine mate. You know, you're a good mate, and so forth. But as soon as you bring up Jesus Christ, you're peculiar. Or mention the Word of God itself, you're peculiar. That's what a peculiar people does. They mention Jesus Christ. Now try it. Try it. See the reaction. Why is it they react that way? Okay? And the reason why is there's unclean spirits that don't like that name. And the unclean spirit wells up in their body, and their eyes tend to glass over, and that spirit said, "This guy's weird. This guy's peculiar. Gonna talk about Jesus Christ. He's peculiar." You see, and that's what a peculiar people do. Now, if you and I personally could see Jesus Christ, it would probably help us to talk about Him more. We can brag about Him and admire Him and look at Him and watch Him and be able to walk with Him. But, you know, like the disciples, they walked with Him 3.5 years. We would lose that, human nature. I mean, if you did have a vision of Jesus Christ, hey, you can start a tour on the in-charismatic church. They'll buy into it. You can make it up. They'll believe you. You can say you went to heaven, you went to hell, you went to purgatory if you want to go to the Catholic charismatics. They'll buy into that. I had a vision. I saw Mary. I saw St. Christopher. I saw this. I saw... People buy into that stuff. But what God has limited to you and I now, to discover what Jesus Christ is really like, to discover His personality, to know His likes, His dislikes, to walk with Him personally, what God has limited you and I with right now are the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You see? And You say, well, man, that's just kind of limited. Yeah, but here's the thing about that. If you go through the Gospels, if you just read one chapter every day, you're going to go through the Gospels every 3 months. There's 89 chapters. And in essence, for that short time, you can actually walk with Jesus Christ. And if you read what those words say and meditate and think about what he was like, what his likes and dislikes, his personality, and you can discover what he was like just reading through the Gospels. Now, if you want to see his God side, his side as a judge, his side for the second coming, that's what Revelation's about. And the little boy said, Jesus is coming back, and boy, is he mad. That's Revelation. That's the wrath of the Lamb. If you want to see his first coming, what he's like as a man, as his personality, would he be somebody you'd like to hang around with? Would he be somebody you'd like to spend some time with? Well, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, in John chapter 20, Thomas walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, saw the miracles. After the resurrection, he showed up. Jesus showed up with the apostles. Thomas wasn't there that one time. And the apostles told him about this. And he said, I don't believe it. Even if I'm not even going to believe it unless I can see the prints in his hands and put my hand in his side. Well, they had a meeting 8 days after that. And Jesus showed up. And he said to Thomas, hey, Tom, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered, said, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. So if you did get to see Jesus, or if you was like this woman that showed up Rensselaer one time, and she told me that she saw a silhouette of Jesus on her ceiling in her bedroom. And she was asking me what it was, and I said, I think it was a silhouette of Jesus in your bedroom. You know, I may not be real bright, but I could hear what a person says. Take her testimony. I didn't call her a liar. She said, well, what do you think it was? I said, well, I think it was a silhouette of Jesus on your ceiling in your bedroom. Well, what do you think that meant? Oh, now we know. Now I know where we're going with this. What do you think that meant? I said, well, I think it meant that Jesus Christ was on your ceiling in your bedroom. And she said, well, I think it meant that I was special and he got me something. Oh, I say, yeah. Special Ed. He has given us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's enough information there to find out the personality of Jesus Christ. And then the book of Revelation to show his second coming. You see, faith is pleasing to God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith. Faith is reading what this book says and believe what it says about Jesus. There's so much evidence about Jesus Christ. I mean, don't kid me. Go kid somebody else. You got more evidence about Jesus Christ than got Abe Lincoln, and people buy into that clown. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, what's his personality like? Well, I read in Matthew 16 that Jesus asked the apostles, whom do men say that I am? Well, here's a hint to tell us what he's like. What is he like? Well, he says, some say you're like John the Baptist. John the Baptist is not one of those guys that goes around and gives little, you know, jelly beans to people. He gives, you know, locusts. He says, here, chomp on this for a while. Man, that's tasty. Throw a little bit of honey on top. Throw a lot of bit of honey on top and you'll be okay. I mean, John the Baptist wasn't a ministerial association character. Okay, then he said, some say you're like Elijah. Elijah, now what a character he was. Stood up against 850 false prophets, 400 of Jezebel's, 450 of the, you know, somebody else's. Even if you go 450, one against 450, you say that's unfair. Yeah, it was for the 450. Because he had God on his side. And he made fun of them in a church service. He said, oh, you guys, oh, maybe you got sleeping, you know, and all. Yell louder, mocking them in their religious faith. He said, some say you're like Elias. Some say you're like Jeremiah. Oh, poor Jeremiah. Man, everybody hated that guy. Everybody in the hometown was a whole against Jeremiah. Some say you're like one of the prophets, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. So you like that? There's where you discover his personality, what he was like. Not only that, if you go with his friends, the guys that liked him, the apostles, Peter, James, John, fishermen, commercial fishermen. Can you imagine if Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee and he acted like Mr. Rogers or what the average person thinks a minister is supposed to act? Tell us, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they'll say, come over here, fella. We'd like to dunk you a few times, get a little manhood in you. No, he said, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And those guys said, yes, sir, we'll do it. Why? Jesus Christ in the Bible is totally different than what people think he is. Look at his enemies, the religious folks, you know, the Roman rulers, the Pharisees, you know, the hoi polloi crowd. I mean, they didn't like him. You find out, now basically the gamut, the polarity is some believe Jesus was the lowly Galilean. That's one side. And the other side is he's the mighty prophet of God. Now, ladies and charismatic movement like this lowly Galilean side. They like that side, generally speaking. But the men, they kind of like this side. They lean over on this side. You see, and some say this side would be Mr. Rogers, and over here would be like Rambo or something like that. Okay, but what was Jesus Christ really like? In Matthew chapter 11... you would see this side in verse 28 where he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that side, that's the lowly Galilean side, and people say, oh, and this is what the world wants for you and I. The world doesn't mind Christianity if you're the lowly Galilean, the gentle Nazarene, where they'll step on your face and you just say, praise the Lord, I forgive you, brother. God loves you, he loves me, he loves you, he loves everyone. I mean, that's the side they want, because they want to get away with their stuff and not be accountable to anybody. You know, if you're on the mighty prophet side and while he's stepping on your face, said, hey, pal, that ain't right, cut it out. You know, you ain't right with God. They don't want to hear that side. Okay, now the other side of the coin is Luke chapter 7. This is the other side. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Jesus came, a funeral procession passed him, came across him, and you talk about a party pooper, he ruined the funeral procession. I mean, they had to cut it out. Luke chapter 7, verse 11, it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. And now when he came anigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, okay, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched a bier, or bear, that's coffin. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young men, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. This mighty prophet side is a side that men respect. They fear. They have an admiration and a respect and a fear of that side. That side is when Jesus Christ is mighty in word and deed, and somebody says something and he says, you didn't say that right. You were wrong what you said. The Bible says this. Ooh, sorry. No, I believe you. You know that book. That's that side. This side over here, this lowly Galilean, this gentle Nazarene, you see, that's the side here. And this one, he had compassion, he had gentleness. You see, you got them two different sides. Now, on this side, the lowly Galilean, the lowly Nazarene, he demonstrates that by having no pride in birth. Where was he born? You ever travel around the country and you see the birthplace of Ronald Reagan? know, big fancy thing. You know, birthplace of this guy. What do they do for Jesus? The birthplace of Jesus Christ. You know, barn. Born in a barn. That's where he was born. He had no pride in birth. He had no pride in education. No college back in those days said that Jesus Christ graduated from Hebrew University. No formal training whatsoever. None whatsoever for Jesus Christ. What was his upbringing like? Was he brought up under a doctor or a lawyer or some hoi polloi, very respectful person in the community? A carpenter. Man worked with his hands. You see, he's brought up in a place called Nazareth. And John chapter 1, he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Probably we would say, can any good thing come out of Gary? You know, something like that. Oh, Michael Jackson came out of Gary. Yeah. Okay, on this other side, the lowly Galilean, what kind of economic status was Jesus Christ? I mean, were they wealthy people? In Luke chapter 2, on the eighth day, when Jesus Christ was to be circumcised, the temple sacrifices, Mary and Joseph came in there. And if they were wealthy people, they would have bought an ox to sacrifice. If they were middle-class people, they would have bought a lamb to sacrifice. But they brought a turtle dove. Their economic status was very poor. You see, that's that side. It says in Philippians, he made himself of no reputation. In John chapter 7, those guys said to him, how does he learn having never learned? How does he know these things having never learned? Meaning, sat behind a desk, listened to some professor, no formal training, got his little paper, it said diploma on there. You see, how does he know these things? Can't he read? You see, but that's how it goes. That's that side. The other side, if you would look at Matthew 21, the other side of the coin for the Lord Jesus Christ, that mighty prophet on this side. In Matthew 21, this is when he rides the colt, the foal of an ass, into Jerusalem, and the people honor him and extol him. And they say, Hosanna to the Son of David, the one in the highest, and so forth and so on. And it says in Matthew 21, verse 11, or verse 10, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, as a mighty prophet, what's he do? Verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers. I don't know about you, but there's something about that just excites me. I mean, where you take the doctor dry and dust and expose the guy to be a lying dog for what he is, and you see this guy who's a very cultured person, and then you see him lose his, you know, culture and goes ballistic. That just is exciting to me. To show the guy where his fangs come out, and you actually can expose his real fangs. That's these bureaucrats. That's a confident judge behind a bench when you can show his true colors. There's something exciting about that. That's that mighty prophet side. You see, and that's what Jesus Christ did. You know, on one side, he's gentle and compassionate, merciful, pardons the sinner. Paul wrote about him in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says the gentleness of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, here's what the comment John wrote about Jesus Christ. In John 1, 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, it says, or 16, and of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, grace is on this side of perspective. Truth is over here. This is the difference between north and south. These are the opposites, grace and truth. Grace is forgiveness and love and mercy and pardon and patience and permissive. Truth is justice and equity and judgment and execution as the law. That's the other side.
Jesus Christ. Most people are overbalanced over here, if not all the way over here, and some are way over here, and they give in to anything and everyone. You know, this is the Rick Warren side. So where he can go to the Muslim conference and not offend a Muslim. And he tells these Muslims, you had courage to invite an evangelical pastor. They knew he wasn't going to say anything. He's a panty waist. He's got lace on his britches. He needs to get on this side. You see? He needs to get some truth and justice. You have a balancer where you know where dealing with a certain person, okay, I should demonstrate some grace. On this side, I should demonstrate some justice. Jesus Christ was a perfect balance. He knew when to be gentle, like the woman at the well, to bring her to himself. He knew when to be hard and right in the face of those Pharisees and tell them that your goose is cooked, pal. You're a goner. You're out of here. He was on that side. You see, there's a perfect balance with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24, verse 19, it says about Jesus Christ, he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. There's that mighty prophet side. Now that phrase, mighty in deed and word, is only found two times in the Bible. Here and in Acts 7 in reference to Moses. And God told Moses, there's going to be a prophet like you. Rise up someday. And that's Jesus Christ. Now what was Moses? Moses was a commanding officer. He was a commander in chief. Not like the panty waist we got. He was a commanding officer where he commanded 600,000 troops and he'd get up in there and give them an order. And when he talked to 2 million people, it wasn't like, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. The Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I mean, he got up in front of them people and yelled it out to these people. And he had a voice of authority. And these people respected him and feared him. Yeah, you got your little party here, and you got Janice and Jamrees who are always kind of nipping at his heels like a little poodle. But it's like any big dog can take that poodle out anytime. Don't want to kill it because it might get caught in his throat. I mean, that's the way it goes. But anytime that the dog can kill it. Okay, but you see, the Lord is a mighty prophet. But then it says that in Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ walked into the temple, the Jewish synagogue. Picked up a book of Isaiah, opened up to Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, read half of verse 2, closed the book, and he said, this scripture is fulfilled today. And then in verse 22, Luke 4, it says, the people wondered at his gracious words. I can hear a charismatic woman sitting in there at that time. Oh, Jesus is such a wonderful pastor. I wish he was my pastor. If Jesus was my pastor, oh, I'd listen to him and I'd be at every service and I would love him. Not the stinking guy I got right now. If Jesus was my pastor, if God knew what I knew about my preacher, boy, he would run him out of church. But if Jesus was my pastor, I'll puke. If Jesus was her pastor, he'd have ran her out. I mean, if Jesus pastored a lot of churches, if Jesus was a pastor of our church, he'd probably run us all out. I mean, Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 4, it says, as people wondered at his gracious words, Luke 4, 22. During that full of grace, here came the truth in Luke 4, 22. He must have gave him grace at the beginning. Man, by the time you get to 28, those people are so mad at him, they want to throw him over a cliff. I can imagine that charismatic. Oh, Jesus is a wonderful pastor. What did he just say? I can't believe that. I won't hear that. And then she's probably the instigator to run him over to the cliff. Let's throw this guy over the cliff. What kind of a guy is this? Full of grace and truth. You see, you got two opposite ends of perspective there. If you would look in John chapter 7, verse 43. When Jesus Christ spoke, he spoke where the common man understood what he said. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he spoke with authority and doctrine. And in John chapter 7, the Pharisees were wanting to get rid of him so bad. Boy, they wanted to get rid of him. So they sent officers, soldiers, to go capture him, to bring him in. In John 7, verse 43, it says, "And there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees and said unto them, Why have you not brought him? They answered, the officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Man, he sounds like an officer. Man, I respect that guy." See, they were amazed with what he said. Then answered them, the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? And ye also deceived by him?" You see, that's the type of people were attracted by Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. John chapter 4, verse 42, Jesus Christ is called the Savior of the world. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, it says he's the Savior of the world, especially of those that believe. So he's a Savior where he saves us out of frustration and things. And if you can imagine, you know, we'll try to bring this down to earth here. Okay, if you can imagine that you're out in a lake and you fell over and you forgot how to swim somehow and you're out there yelling and screaming, you're drowning, and here comes Jesus Christ. He comes alongside and saves you from drowning, pulls you in a boat, takes you to the shore, and you say, "Boy, thanks a lot. Boy, I really appreciate that." He said, "Yeah, I'd like to take some time to show you how to swim." "No, I got another adventure to go do, Lord." So off you go. You find someone another adventure in America. You got so many adventures out here. So you go find something else, and you get into rock climbing, and you're climbing these rocks, and you've got your ropes attached, and you've got the latch and everything going, and you climb up, all of a sudden, snap, 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 boom, you're going down, and you hit the bottom, and you're like this hanging from the rope, and you're a dead duck, you know you're a goner. And here comes Jesus Christ climbing up the rocks. "You need help?" "Man, I sure appreciate it. You help me out." "Yep." Saves your life again. Get you down on solid ground. He said, "Now, I'd like to take some time to show you how you can climb those rocks without killing yourself." "Appreciate it, Lord. Appreciate you helping me out. But I got another adventure to go." Takes off. "Oh, man, you get going, and you know, you get a motorcycle, and you get out there, and you're going to ride that thing, and you about kill yourself. You go over a cliff, you break your neck, you break your arm, you end up in a hospital." And Jesus Christ comes into the hospital and says, "How you doing?" "Had a little problem." "Well, guess what? I'm the great physician. Heals you right on the spot." He said, "Oh, by the way, I'd like to teach you how to ride that the right way. I can teach you to ride as good as Wade." And he said, "Oh, no, no, I got something else to do. Thank you very much." Run along. Some other adventure. And you're working on your car and you can't figure the stupid thing out. Man, you're throwing wrenches and you're slamming doors and you can't get the stupid car figured out. And you're getting ready to push over a cliff and somebody walks. And you've even called Nolan to ask him to help you out, figure out the trouble. And you're getting ready to push the thing over the cliff and Jesus Christ shows up. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm getting rid of this junk. I can help you out. Here's the problem, here's the problem, here's the problem." "Oh man, thank you. Man, you really helped me out. Appreciate that. I'd like to show you how that thing works. Sorry, I'm busy. I got this other adventure to do." And you get playing on a computer and you can't get the thing working and the thing's dying on you. It's burning out. And you hit Control-Alt-Delete. You hit Control-Alt-Delete. You turn it off. You pull the plug. You put it back in, you know. And you're getting a shotgun out ready to shoot it. Jesus Christ shows up. "What are you doing?" "I'm taking care of this." "Yeah, but I can help you out." "Man, you've helped me out several times. Turn the thing on." And he hits a few buttons, the thing runs like a top. "Appreciate that, Lord. I got another adventure to do." You take off. Never get to know him personally. Never get down and let him teach you these things. And so you're walking through the woods, you know, and you're going to enjoy a hike and everything. Here comes a bear. And, you know, rule when you walk through woods, especially where bears, is you have one party with you, two people. And the rule is that you always make sure you're faster than them. That's the rule. Okay? So that way, they become lunch meat, and then you can pray for them. Somebody sent me this picture of this guy in Alaska that was sleeping in his tent, and a polar bear attacked him. And it showed, and he somehow got the bear off him, had a gun, and shot the thing dead.
And then it showed his pictures, and man, his back was just nothing but scars and cuts and everything. And his foot, you can take a golf ball and put it through. There was no skin here. There was just like the Achilles bone or that bone there. And that was, ew, man, that looked painful. But you're in the woods and this bear is chasing you down and you're running in front of your life. And then Jesus Christ shows up and said, hey, I can save you from this situation. I know you've helped me out a lot of times. He saves you from the situation. Now I'd like to take some time how you could either protect yourself or train these animals. And here's what Jesus Christ has done for us. If you're born again, he has saved you from sin, and he is now willing to teach you how to stay pure, how to walk with him. But what do? Some other adventure. Jesus Christ not only saved one soul, but he now wants to save your life from you and I destroying our lives. Why? Because he wants to teach you and I, to prepare you and I so that we might rule and reign with him in the millennium. That's his goal. He wants you and I personally to be a part of his kingdom. But he will not allow that to happen unless each and every one of us individually allow him to mold our lives so that we might be a faithful servant of his. And in order to do that, you and I must take time to know him. Discover him personally. Know him personally. Talk about him personally. Jesus Christ. We're not talking Baptist faith. We're not talking religion. We're talking about the Savior of the world and hopefully your Savior. If you would, grab your hymn books and turn to 454. Mommy, would you come and play that for me? 454. Four, five, four. If you would, why don't we go ahead and stand? We'll sing this. Sing it slow, but think about Jesus Christ. Christ has.